I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Podcast with me, Carly. Hope you are all well, witches. First off, sorry for the absolute radio silence. It's been the Easter holidays here, so I spent some time with my daughter, but I've also been back down south to see family, as my grandma is in hospital with pneumonia. Since she's been in there, she's also developed COVID. And sadly, not sure how it will all pan out. She is 90. She has had a full on life, but it's all kind of hanging in the balance at the moment. I hope you are all well, witches. It's good to be back. I've missed doing this. On today's episode, we are meeting again with Primrose Hill at Moonwillow Cottage to look at the fox and nettles. But to kick things off today, we have our book review, and our book today is House of Hunger by Alexis Henderson. I love a good horror read, especially if it is a vampire book. So this book was on my to-read list for a little while. I actually follow a couple of YouTubers that I have discovered a number of books through called Alexandra Rosalyn and Katie is Reading. If you want any inspiration on that front, both are into horror and fantasy books, just very sweet ladies. I will link their YouTube channels into the show notes. But anyway, I've been following them for a little while, and Alexandra Rosalyn got me onto this book, and my library happened to have a copy in circulation. Here is the book's blurb. Wanted, a blood maid of exceptional taste. Must have a keen proclivity for life's finer pleasures. Girls of weak will need not apply. Marion Shaw is a child of the slums. She yearns to escape the city and its miseries, but has no real hope until a strange advertisement catches her eye. Someone is seeking a blood maid. Marion applies for the position and days later finds herself at the notorious House of Hunger, poised to enter a world that is dark, debauched, and very dangerous. And there at the centre of it all is Countess Lizaveth. Loved and feared in equal measure, she is both charismatic and seductive, and she takes a special interest in Marion. But then blood maids begin to go missing, and Marion finds herself at the centre of a terrifying game of cat and mouse. She must learn the rules of her new home before it becomes her grave. First off, it was nice to read a grittier book and have a break briefly from witchy books. I love the gothic vibes in this book. The writing style is everything. I actually got that little excited feeling when the day was done and I thought, oh, I can read my book now. Marion, our main character, is brilliant. She's a real tough cookie. She just wants to suck the marrow out of life and not be stuck in the circumstances that she was born into. And you just can't help but admire that. The book's beginning has an almost Dickensian, Victorian London feel to it, which was right up my street. until we see Marion leave the slums to take up her appointment as a blood maid. I read a review on Goodreads. If you would like to follow me on Goodreads, you can, and I would love to follow you back to see what you are reading. I will link my account in the show notes. I haven't done much with my account in terms of connecting with others, but I would like to. But anyway, the review on Goodreads said, this is a shortened version, that basically this is less vampire novel and more about gaslighting and abuse that the blood maids experience. It's not a vampire novel per se, as we learn as the story continues. But the book does show the divide between the elite and the poor. It doesn't disappoint on the horror, though, in my humble opinion. I loved being in the house with Marion, visualising the debauchery that took place at the parties, the finery that the blood maids enjoy, and the camaraderie between the blood maids. Another Goodreads review I read said, if you enjoyed Diary of Blood, you will enjoy this. And I happen to agree, it is raunchy and extremely passionate. One of the scenes that will stay with me that I felt was truly magic was the train that Marion takes to the north. So the carriage is described as being glass throughout. So Marion ends up lying on a bench, watching the stars on the journey, and the description was just everything. I gave this book 3.5 stars, truly enjoyed it. However, I could pick some holes in the ending, but I won't say too much so as not to give anything away. If you love gore, horror, vampire-esque, gothic, raunchy reads, I would absolutely say read this immediately. If you are in the States, the cover for this book is everything. Sadly, the UK published copy cover is quite disappointing. But after borrowing this from the library, this is definitely a book that I need to own. I wish I could have read this for Samhain, as it would have just been impeccable vibes. Join me after the break to meet again with Primrose Hill to look at her grimoire and find out all about the folklore and magic of the fox and nettles. The windows of Moonwillow Cottage were steaming up from the nettle broth Primrose was boiling up on the hob. This was combined with heat pumping out of the arga from the nettle oatcakes she was baking. Primrose sat at the kitchen table, flicking through the ancient, battered family grimoire, biding her time until both would be ready for her to have for her lunch, along with bread she had freshly baked that morning. Through the latticed windows, Primrose could see the clouds roll by on that overcast grey April day. Every now and then, the sun burst out before hiding again. In all honesty, Primrose was a little cheesed off with still having to be togged up in warm jumpers and the like, along with being stuck indoors, hoping that with Beltane less than a month away, she could finally don her summer dresses that had been tucked away in the old French armoire in her bedroom for far too long. Another reason Primrose found herself in the kitchen, despite having a multitude of spring cleaning tasks she could attend to throughout the rest of the house, was that she was on constant fox alert. This spring had seen the arrival of a sly old fox she had named Reynard, an absolute fiery beauty that she now found herself in defence against. She had always loved foxes, but since taking on the chickens, there was no way she could make them welcome on her land in any shape or form. Since Reynard's arrival, Primrose had started the defence. Her mundane methods were ensuring all the entryways were secured and nowhere was left for him to slink in. Primrose had also resorted to her apothecary to create a boundary of scents Farmer Middlesworth advised would help to deter Reynard, setting out around the property's boundaries coffee grounds, chilli, garlic and some lemon and orange peel. If that didn't work, she took to rushing outside, banging a saucepan with a wooden spoon the minute she heard a rustle or the chickens begin to flap. Magical methods she used to help were creating her own wards around the property to keep the chickens safe from harm. Balthazar had been about as much use as a chocolate teapot with the whole situation. Since spring had sprung, he was nowhere to be found, with his daily trips to the woods doing whatever cats do in the great outdoors. The one time she had seen Reynard and Balthazar cross paths, the fox had the decency to slope off, whilst Balthazar, being the cat he was, merely looked on at the fox, unperturbed and unimpressed. Primrose knew living in such close proximity to the woods and the fox's territory, she had to accept how their two worlds coexisted. Despite this, she couldn't bear the thought of Reynard and his small family going hungry. Around Ostara, when Primrose had been out foraging in the woods, she had spotted out the corner of her eye a fiery red flame of fur. By the time she turned to get a proper look, it had all but disappeared, except for the end of a red tail that swiftly entered what she had come to learn was the fox family's den. Primrose wasn't sure if it was the right thing to do, but she had taken to leaving out some food offerings for the fox family, more to keep their hunger at bay and the chickens spared. She had left that tiny detail out when she had consulted Farmer Middlesworth, who took a far sterner approach to the foxes. Although the battle between Reynard and Primrose continued on, Farmer Middlesworth warned her she might be under fierce attack until around late June or July. But she couldn't help but be fascinated by Reynard. The grimoire hadn't disappointed either when it came to folklore and personal accounts of the foxes that the hill women had encountered during their time at Moonwillow Cottage. She learnt that Bessie Hill, who passed in 1832, had a fox familiar she fondly named Ginger, who would often bring her small items he discovered on his jaunts as a thank you for her care. The forest at this time was often under attack from hunters with their shotguns blasting. Bessie had spent a lot of time doing all she could to make life a little easier for the wildlife and more inconvenient for the hunters. If Bessie wasn't setting up tripwires, she would set wards around the forest. If she caught sight of who the hunter was, usually one of the local village men, she would be straight up to the local pub to have it out with them. If that didn't work, she would refuse to treat the family's ailments if they came knocking at Moonwillow Cottage until they promised to stop. If the rumours were true about Bessie, she may or may not have cast the odd impotent spell on the hunter, which seemed to clear up surprisingly just fine once they paid a trip to Bessie, cap in hand, grovelling with the promise never to harm the wildlife of All Hallows Wood. It seemed throughout time the hill women and the foxes of the woods had some sort of allegiance, much like witches and foxes have for generations. Despite the fact Reynard wasn't wanted on her land due to the chickens, Primrose had decided, like many of the hill women before her, she would still do all she could to ensure the fox family's well-being. The fox, linked to the planets Mercury and the moon, elements fire, air and earth, deities Demeter, Bacchus, Sigyn and Dionysus, crystals calcite, tourmaline, and jade. Themes: agility, trickster, cunning, clairaudience, critical thinking, play, strategy, shamanic healing, spirit realm navigation, observation and awareness, sexual empowerment, seductiveness, working in liminal spaces, intuition, creativity, intelligence, mystery, shape-shifting, invisibility, elusiveness, adaptable, slyness, transformation. The fox appears throughout much of folklore, the sly trickster of fables. They are also depicted as shapeshifters, often taking the form of a woman or magician. In Europe of old, the fox was a symbol of fertility and the weather, usually seen at dawn or dusk, both magical liminal times. Due to their trickiness and ability to appear and disappear swiftly, the fox has been considered as an animal that can act as a guide to the fairy realm and help you to communicate with the good folk. They are often camouflaged from view and keen observers of all that goes on. This is one of the ways we can learn from them, through stepping back from drama and complications that might be occurring around us, and observe rather than react. Through our observing, we can pick up on messages from the divine and obtain the answers we are seeking. The fox may appear to you when you need to tap into clairaudience skills on account of their long ears. The Celts understood the fox, knew the woods intimately, considering them as a guide that moved through the spirit realm with ease. They believed the fox held unparalleled wisdom and keen insight. In China and Peru, they consider the fox as holding godlike powers with the ability to shapeshift into human form. Native Americans are said to see the fox as the firebringer that possesses healing abilities and strong ties to shamanic practices. Fox possesses a wild, sometimes chaotic intelligence, surviving off their wits and roguish charm. Their energy can help us to escape traps in life and navigate the most challenging of situations. As a power animal, they can help you to avoid confrontation, persist in the face of trouble, remain determined despite difficulties, and see things with flawless clarity before you push ahead. Their energy can assist you in the areas of personal discernment relating to personal and business relationships. The fox can help to grant you wisdom in an area you may have a blind spot. Fox can remind us of the power of play and laughter and how it can lead us through emotionally challenging conditions, but also to be playful when working towards our goals, supporting our wonder and natural curiosity. They can be the perfect ally to work with for matters relating to expanding our consciousness or mind. Should you see the fox or their imagery repeatedly, this can be symbolic of you starting an ill-conceived project or relationship. Their appearance acts as a warning, asking you to heighten your awareness of your surrounding conditions. Alternatively, seeing the fox frequently is said to indicate it's time for you to tap into your psychic senses. The fox might encourage us to work on our supernatural abilities, perhaps during dawn or twilight hours, the liminal time that hangs on the edge of reality and the realms. You can connect with fox's energy through meditation and focusing on their imagery and qualities, tapping into their energy, receiving their messages of guidance and insight, and applying them as you see fit. Journeying with the fox can bring new perspective to our craft and help us to tap into the magic of the natural world. The Fox in Dreams is the perfect guide through the dream world, said to symbolize you need to proceed with caution in relation to work-related situations and relationships. This dream asks you not to rush into anything without knowing what you are up against. If the fox's ears are center stage to your dream, this is said to foretell clairaudient experiences and ask that you observe and listen to what is going on around you. In your dream, should the fox hide within the shadows or the dream focuses on the fox's eyes, this is indicative of there being more here than meets the eye in your current situation or relationship. If you wish to carry out more dream-related work, invoke Fox's energy as your guide through the dream world, for he is most active amidst the night. The fox has long been much maligned and socially outcast. Summon the fox as a power animal should you need to break free of social conditioning or if you need to remain unseen within a situation. The fox's shadow side relates to trickery, deception, illusion, and sexual excess. Since time began, animals have been revered and worshipped as spirits of nature. Known to the ancients as power animals or the animal guides of the gods. When Christianity came along, many of these animals became demonized as representing evil. The fox, due to its blazing red colour, became a symbol for the devil. Foxes were also known carriers of rabies, a form of canine madness that threatened humans, domestic animals, and other wildlife, which added to its association with diabolism. In ancient Greece, Dionysus, the Greek god of fertility, vegetation, and ecstasy, often appeared dressed in a fox fur. In connection with the weather, it was said the fox is brewing when a thunderstorm was building. And the Finns refer to the northern lights as the fire of the fox. In Europe, from the medieval period to the French Revolution, the fox came to symbolize the survival strategies of the peasantry. Peasants were commonly regarded as the underdogs and admired the guile and wit needed to outmaneuver the powers of the aristocracy, state, and church authorities, just as they saw the fox use these same qualities to raid their livestock under the cover of darkness. The fox is a member of the dog family, yet demonstrates many cat-like traits, giving them a balance of female and male energy. The fox stays close to their den and are nurturing and fiercely protective of family. The red fox is said to be symbolic of the element of fire and solar symbolism. Work with the red fox as a power animal to harness the element of fire and work with its energetic influence to ignite your passions and trigger your creativity. The white fox denotes purity and divinity. The grey fox symbolizes conservatism, finding harmony and balance, and also that you may have difficulty in separating fact from fiction, or that the truth of something falls somewhere in the middle. Reynard the Fox is a tale from the medieval verse cycles known as the Beast Epics, many of which feature animals acting in human roles. They first made their appearance in the Alsace-Lorraine region of France during the 12th century. From there, their popularity spread across Europe. Perhaps the best known of these epics is Le Roman de Reynard. The story tells how Reynard the Fox is summoned to the court of King Noble the Lion, having been accused of various misdeeds by other animals, led by his arch rival Isengrim the Wolf. As the story progresses, Reynard repeatedly demonstrates how cleverness can triumph over brute strength. While amusing on the surface, the Beast epics are also satirical commentaries on medieval life, in which the church and nobility were the primary targets.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Nettles, Latin name, Urtica dioica. Folk names, stinging nettle, devil's claw, nettle leaf, burn weed, burn hazel, burn nettle, and stingers. Element of fire, has a masculine energy, linked to the planets Mars and Pluto, linked to zodiac signs Aries and Scorpio, linked to the deities Four, Anya and Maeve. Magical properties, protection, healing, courage, banishing, binding, consecration, exorcism, healing, lust, courage, defense, enchantment and dispelling evil. Nettle is one of the nine plants invoked in the Anglo-Saxon Nine Herbs charm to aid in healing from a poisoning from elf shot, which were unexplained pains in humans or livestock, purportedly carried out by elves. There is also rumour that nettle protects a person from lightning, which may derive from its association with Thor, the god of thunder. However, interestingly enough, it is also linked to Loki, the trickster god, who had a magical fishing net made from nettle. This also aligns with other Celtic lore, which indicated that groupings of stinging nettle were fairy hideaways, or there were fairy dwellings nearby. As we know from many stories, fairies can be tricksters themselves. In a way, by avoiding nettle, you are avoiding the fairies. Throughout much of Celtic lore, nettle serves as a threshold guardian. Celts and other cultures across the globe, to include Romanians, Romans, Native Americans, would whip stinging nettle against the bare skin of the back to increase blood flow and stamina in preparation for hard times. It seems that the nettle was used protectively to enhance one's tolerance to outside forces as a test of spirit. To that point, nettle is associated with the war god Mars. It grows when winter snow melts, usually from the month of March, which would also suggest a correlation to Mars. This is from The Complete Medicinal Herbal by Penelope Ode. Caesar's troops introduced the Roman nettle into Britain because they would need to flail themselves with the nettles to keep warm. And until recently, urtication or beating with nettles was a standard folk remedy for arthritis and rheumatism. Perhaps it was this particular struggle that gave stinging nettle the reputation of being a doorway between life and death. There are old wives' tales that describe nettles growing near burial grounds or out of dead bodies. As stinging nettle is a strong, historically utilised fibre, it was found in burial clothes dating back to the Bronze Age. This indicates that it could have been used within last rites of passage for the ancients. Nettle overall was said to encourage folk through consumption to be stronger individuals. Unlike many death-related plants such as hawthorn and blackthorn or any of the baneful plants, it's easily consumed and even encouraged to be brought into the home. More than merely a death doorway, stinging nettles hold protection qualities. Lore suggests cattle were fed nettles so trolls and witches could not hex them. This could be based on nettles' nutritional value. Nettle is still used in chicken and pig feed to this day. The etymology of stinging nettle is pretty apparent in the name. Even though only 5 out of the 6 subspecies have stinging hairs called trichomes, nettle itself is an Indo-European root, ned, which means bind or tie. This would have to do with the use of nettles in the production of textiles. Urtica, the genus name, comes from the root meaning burn. Again, that's pretty self-explanatory. Dioica, on the other hand, is from the Greek language, meaning two houses, which is in reference to the fact that stinging nettle plants are both male and female. This is a unique quality among plants, where, for nettle, female plants will grow in dense clusters, apart from the male plants outside of that, which only grow stamens. There is deep magic somewhere in the nature of this plant's multiple sexes. Not all of the plants within this species sting, yet this particular one has a reputation for it. The stinging nettle is a cherished staple for cunning folk. It's native to Europe, it's a herbaceous broadleaf perennial and can now be found across the globe. It grows in clumped groups known as monoculture, and it prefers locations that have been disturbed or upturned. Overall, they strongly associate with human habitation and places where human and animal waste create elevated levels of phosphate and nitrogen. These are harmonious elements for the stinging nettle to thrive in. The stinging sensation of the nettle is caused by the needle-like hairs injecting histamines into the skin. This defensive mechanism has led to its many historical medicinal uses, as antihistamines are produced by the body in response to the nettle histamines, and this can alleviate inflammation and swelling throughout the body. Traditionally, nettles have been used as a remedy for shingles, conditions of the sinuses, and to relieve constipation, throat and mouth infections, juvenile eczema, to stop bleeding and help wounds to heal without infection. To make an infusion, nettle leaves should be collected when the flowers are in bloom. To take internally, pour a cup of boiling water over 1 to 3 teaspoons of dried leaf and allow to steep for 10 to 15 minutes. This can be drunk up to 3 times a day. If you are harvesting for teas for later in the year, dry the nettle either by hanging or placing the nettle loosely in brown paper bags. Mark the bag, put it in a window that gets a lot of sun, and depending on the temperature, it usually takes only a day. There are, I'm sure, other ways that you can dry it also. Once the nettle is dried or cooked, it loses its sting. The nettle's flavour has been compared to a mix of spinach and cucumber when cooked, and you definitely want to cook it. It's the only way to avoid the needles when consuming them. In fact, the soup recipe is possibly the most popular form of eating it from places such as Eastern Europe, Scandinavia, Iran, and Ireland. The eating of nettle stew dates back to the Bronze Age of Britain nearly 3,000 years ago. Nutritionally, nettle is one of nature's powerhouses. Nettles are very high in calcium, chromium, magnesium, and zinc. High in cobalt, manganese, phosphorus, potassium, protein, riboflavin, selenium, silicon, thiamine, vitamin A and vitamin C. Nettles are safe to consume for most users. However, be sure to check the contradictions first before consuming. It is said to interact with other medicines, but shouldn't be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding. As contradictory as it sounds, nettle was also used to make bast fibre for clothes. Although it is a rough fibre, the pokey hairs are done away with while it goes through the retting process. It's a surprisingly strong material and grows without the help of pesticides. Unlike other short fibres like cotton, it makes yarn, rope, baskets, paper textiles and more. Magically, nettles can be used for spell work relating to protection and repelling hexes. Given its stealthy but potent defences, it's easy to see why. Sprinkling nettle around your house will keep evil out and send it back. It can be carried in a sachet or poppet to remove curses, worn as an amulet to keep negativity away, or even held in the hand with gloves, preferably to ward off ghosts. For healing purposes, place freshly cut nettle in the room of one who is ill to aid in recovery. According to Welsh folklore, if you place freshly cut nettle under the pillow of the sick and it stays green, the person will live. If it turns yellow, it is said that they will die. Nettle is said to have the power to turn any negative spells back upon the sender, particularly if used with a poppet. Create a protection poppet or spell bag stuffed with nettle leaves. Nettle has been used for centuries for protection spell work. Believed to banish fears, strengthen one's will, and provide quick action in an emergency situation. Wearing an amulet of nettle and yarrow is said to keep fear at bay. Nettle is said to reduce doubt and stress and increase courage. So if you have a new venture, relationship or challenge, nettle could well be your ally. Grind dried nettle and burn as an incense to banish baneful spirits or energies. Make a broom with nettle branches and use it to sweep your sacred space or sweep out unwanted energy. Stinging nettles in folklore. Hans Christian Andersen wrote a story called The Wild Swans. This is a truly fantastic tale of siblinghood. A king marries a witch who turns her 11 stepsons into swans and forces them from the kingdom. This leaves the only daughter of the king, Eliza, unchanged but banished also. From lands far away, she is guided by the queen of the fairies to gather stinging nettles in the graveyards to knit into shirts that will one day help her brothers regain their human forms. The trick is she must take a vow of silence and is not allowed to speak a single word, or else it will kill her brothers. During this time, a king spies her picking nettles and falls for her. Like most tales go, he asks her to marry him shortly after. Unfortunately, the archbishop of the king takes his new fiancée's nettle gathering in the graveyards as a sign of witchcraft and opts to have her burned at the stake for her crimes, of which she cannot speak out against. Her brothers hear of her plight and come to rescue her while she ferociously knits the shirts, even as she is bound for death. And they descend just in time for her to throw the magical shirts over them. They transform back into humans, and she is able to speak once more, reclaiming her innocence. Unfortunately, one of the shirts is not finished, and her youngest brother has a swan's wing instead of an arm. In all of this, we see more themes of stinging nettle as a protector and also links to the Fae. That is all I have for you today, witches. Thank you for joining me. I will put a link in the show notes to some recipes for nettle if you would like to have a go at any of those. There will, of course, be a link to my Patreon, The Witches Institute, where you can find grimoire sheets all about the fox and nettles. There is a ton of witchy content on there and a witchy community that you can join for just £6 per month. You can cancel at the click of a button also if it isn't for you. Other than that, have a great week, witches. I will catch up with you all soon, and I'm sending you lots and lots of witchy love.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.